NPR.
At The Indicator, we work in this little team of six people at an office in Midtown, New York. And we work in this little cluster of cubicles. We talk and interact constantly all day, chatting, talking through stories, figuring out the schedule, editing the show, getting coffee.
Yeah, sometimes too much chatting, really.
I know. That's true. It's not always productive chatting, but always fun.
It is always fun, but not anymore. Not today or tomorrow or the next day or for the foreseeable future. Like millions of people across the country and across Asia and Europe, really the whole world, we are now working from home. And we're trying to make a show from our five tiny New York City apartments and one house in Los Angeles. We're trying to navigate this new indoor life, and we're trying to stay sane while doing it. This is The Indicator from Planet Money. From half of a closet and a huge blanket on the Upper West Side, I'm Cardiff Garcia.
Got to do it to muffle the sound. From under a comforter in my bedroom in Flatbush, Brooklyn, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Today on the show, working from home. It's supposed to be the future of work, you know? No 45-minute subway commute, no putting in contact lenses or putting on real pants. I mean, I don't even have to brush my hair. Who would know?
Working from home is beset with a lot of obstacles like communications pitfalls, home office problems, loneliness, IT issues. Is it really a better way to work? I say yes. Stacy is less convinced.
Less convinced.
So today, she's going to try to answer the question, does the office add value to our work, or is it just a relic?
Support for NPR and the following message come from TransferWise, the smart new way to send and receive money internationally. Join over 6 million customers in 70 countries who are already saving and try it for free at transferwise.com/NPR or download the app. Support also comes from Microsoft Teams, where you can contribute to meetings from anywhere, chat with coworkers, and find all your files in one place. Ready to unleash the power of your team? Open Teams. More at microsoft.com/teams.
So first off, I love working from home from time to time. I like the quiet. I like drinking an entire pot of coffee on my couch while I write. But the idea of working from home indefinitely is kind of terrifying. David Hennemeyer Hansen says, I'm actually really lucky to be able to work from home. A lot of people don't have that option. They have to physically show up for work. Also, a lot of jobs are going away entirely. So he says, I should be excited about working from home. Also, he says, there's nothing scary about it. The whole idea of having to go into an office to work these days is
just such a caveman notion. I have been working remotely for pretty much the past 20 years.
David is the co-author of Remote, Office Not Required, and he works from home. Actually, he runs a company from his house. It is called Basecamp, and it's a platform where remote office workers can all connect and communicate. But before that, David spent years going to an office for work.
And I never found that there was some sort of special magic to the office. In fact, I found, for me, that I got far more work done. I had a far easier time accessing that special zone you can get into when you're working on deep work when I was at home. So for me, the office was pretty much always an imposition.
And I can totally see that if you are working from home for a few days. Getting in the zone is much easier at home than it is in an office full of radio journalists who are all chatty and nosy and gregarious and have boomy radio voices. But still, home on my couch in my pajamas for weeks, with Netflix and like 9 seasons of The Office right there all the time, how am I going to get anything done?
The number one pushback we probably get from managers and executives is, well, how do I know if someone is at home that they're not like doing their laundry or on the couch playing PlayStation? And I think, is this really what you think of your workers? Is that the level of trust you have with the people who work at your company, work with you?
Luckily, here at The Indicator, we are very trustworthy people. We are not the kind of people who would, like, watch 3 episodes of The Office in a row at 11 a.m. on a Tuesday when we're supposed to be writing a script. But for those people who might be tempted, David recommends having 2 computers, one just for work and one for Netflix and personal stuff. He also recommends getting dressed for work every day to get into work mode. And, you know, considering that I used to spend 90 minutes a day commuting, a couple episodes of The Office, it's not so bad.
The most sacred thing I do is care and provide for my workers, my family. I give them money. I give them food. Not directly, but through the money. I heal them.
But even if I figure out the productivity issue, there's still a synergy issue. You know, you're around colleagues, bouncing ideas off each other, working as a team. I asked David Hennemeyer Hansen about the synergy issue.
There was a great study that came out recently. Does an open office actually lead to greater communication amongst coworkers? And the answer was no. People don't end up actually talking more because they sit in an open office. They end up talking less because they try to isolate themselves, either putting on headphones or doing something else just to be able to block out all the distractions that happen in this interruption factory we call the modern office place.
But I love our little interruption factory. Our job is so intense. Our team is so small. We're all really close. And some of my favorite moments at work, in life even, are when we're all standing around talking and joking. I'm really going to miss that.
What we do at Basecamp, for example, is occasionally just get a bunch of people on a Zoom call to talk about everything not work.
Like a social call, like a sort
exactly.
of the equivalent of a
yes.
water cooler phone call?
Yes, and do that in a very explicit way, that is the purpose of the next 30 minutes.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Oh, I had that completely wrong. That's your phone, wow.
Can you guys hear me?
Steady hand.
Ah.
This is all good information.
Good and terrible.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh my God, hi!
So we tried it. We did a little hangout call for 30 minutes and talked about not work.
So anyways, basketball's over, soccer's over, baseball's going to be postponed.
I was like, if I'm going down, I'm taking someone from the ship with me.
I had a date get canceled last night, and she blamed coronavirus, but I don't know if that's just
was it a first date or a second?
Mermaiding?
Well, now I'm looking it up.
Now I want to know.
I can't quite figure it out. Oh, here we go. Urban Dictionary. Common practice on Tinder.
What?
Like catfishing, except the person is real, but their intentions are to ruin you financially, emotionally, steal your identity, and con you in some other way.
So dating, in other words.
This is just dating.
It was so delightful, and it made me miss everybody. Companies like Zoom and Slack, which make software that allow team communication like this, have seen a giant spike in business in recent weeks. Although, David says, with all these, tech problems are just a given.
I always remark on the remarkable fact that we've been doing this for 20 years and it still doesn't work consistently.
Feels like we have a rover on Mars. Like, why can't we get the sound to play on, yes.
And this moment is going to mark a permanent change in the way we work, says David. He says, even after coronavirus passes and life gets back to normal, remote work is going to become way more common just because so many people and companies are figuring it out right now. And he points out, it does not have to be all or nothing. He thinks most people will eventually work from the office when they need to and work remotely when it suits them. Or when they don't have a choice, like now. So, you know, I am taking David's advice. I'm getting dressed in real clothes, lipstick and everything, to walk into my living room, open my work-only computer, dial into a morning meeting with the team. I send lots of emails and texts and write news stories. And meanwhile, outside my apartment, markets are crashing. People are losing their jobs. The economy is grinding to a halt. My city is basically shutting down, along with cities all across the world. And I am here, on my couch, watching it all unfold online, alone, along with millions of other people. I asked Team Indicator to send me voice memos from their first couple days working from home. Here they are.
This is Captain's Log Day 1, working from home.
The novelty of working from home can feel kind of freeing in one way.
I am going to be wearing my slippers all day, which I'm excited about.
My apartment is an environment that's a lot more conducive to doing deep reading and research.
It's only been 8 hours and I'm already going stir crazy.
It's starting to feel like something that might be really prolonged for all of us.
Last night I bought myself a pint of cold brew coffee sorbetto made by Talenti, and that pint is now empty.
This episode was produced by Lena Sansgarry in Brooklyn, where she has been cooking gumbo and reading Reddit threads that are not about coronavirus. Edited by Patty Hirsch from his quarantined home in Los Angeles, where he's been experimenting with Irish and French bread recipes. And fact-checked by Brittany Cronin in Harlem, who has been making empanadas and has committed to rewatching all 16 seasons of Grey's Anatomy.